And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Wednesday practice tomorrow will be at Tulane. Monday and Tuesday, basically walkthroughs. Practice today, we talked to Coach Kellen Moore after practice, and really basically a recovery day. Both days, just walkthroughs. So a mix of what we'll say, good and bad news, as we welcome all of our New Orleans Saints Radio Network affiliates across the Southeast, and we appreciate you listening. Chris Olave went down towards the end of practice, but Coach Kellen said it was just probably got the wind knocked out of him. It was really towards the end of practice. There was some good news, and so let's get to that first. Wide receiver Bub Means returned to practice. Also, defensive tackle Kristen Miller also returned to practice. He had been out with the shoulder, so that was good to see. But it's been a rough day for the IR and a rough couple of days for IR. Ty Chandler, who injured his knee, the running back in the Rams game, he is going to go to IR, as well as second-year tight end Maliki Matavau, who also injured his knee against the Rams. So those two go on IR Monday. In case you missed it, the cornerback Rajon Wright also went to IR, and meaning with no designations done for the season. So that brings that number to five, as earlier Brian Brzee, defensive tackle, and offensive lineman Dylan Radins both went down with injuries and done for the season. So it has just been a whirlwind, really just the last 10 days, if you think about all that the Saints went through with the joint practices, three of them, Jacksonville, Dallas, the Rams, and two preseason games. And really, this is the fallout from that. Some of the injuries that happened. And really, when you start writing them down, it becomes – sorry, I had to actually reach for the stuff that I had written down. It becomes so kind of jarring. But we don't know necessarily the extent of all of them. Really, the news today about Devin Neal is that we don't know. They are still evaluating his situation, hamstring. Then it becomes, you know, how long is he going to be out? He was, when Coach Moore talks about a serious injury, basically you're looking at out the first week of the season almost for sure. That is September 13th. So Devin Neal, you know, again, the Saints have a couple of spots that they can use for injured reserve players for the cut down of 53. You got to assume that maybe Jordan Tyson will take one of those spots, you know, and then kind of see where things go. It's everything's a little early this year. Jeff Nowak had talked about last year the Saints played all of their preseason games on a Sunday. This year there's just one preseason game on a Sunday, and the roster breakdown comes Sunday, August 30th. So the Saints will have to get to the 53-man roster on Sunday, August 30th by 5 o'clock Central, and then the waivers will happen on Monday the 31st, and then the teams will announce their practice squad members by 5 p.m. Central on August 31st. They can keep 16, they can keep 17 if they have, in fact, an international player like the Saints do. But that competition, who's to say that Charlie's not, you know, not the winner of the competition and on the 53. But if he doesn't, he can be put on the 17th member of the International Pathway Program and remain on the Saints practice squad. But there's just, you know, when you start looking at Alvin Kamara and the knee sprain, Oscar Delp has a hamstring, Jordan Tyson we know about with the hamstring, still waiting on Mason Tipton. Again, the good news about Bub Means. And then those that maybe you're kind of not as worried about, not because of their injury, but because of the length of time that they may miss, Torricelli Simpkins, Cesar Ruiz with an ankle, Barry Wesley, his was undisclosed. And that's just the offense. Cam Jordan with the hamstring. Quincy Riley with the groin. He's a week one question mark. Cam Jordan with the hamstring. Week one question mark. Lorenzo Styles, calf injury. Don't know really the situation with that. Kristen Miller, the second round pick, had a shoulder injury that he injured in the Jacksonville game. So again, good news that he came back. Rajon Wright, we mentioned, out for the season. Dallas Beanham was injured in the Rams practice. Don't know his situation to the latest. John Ridgeway, injured foot. Chris Rump, we have not seen. Brian Taylor, the defensive lineman, just has a stinger, so I don't think that it's going to be too much of an issue for him. So there's just a lot to deal with as the Saints look to their Friday game, Friday night, in Dallas against the Cowboys. The Cowboys have won both of their preseason games, which means all of nothing, I know. They won the first one 17-7 at Seattle, then they won their second game at Arizona, then they host the Saints preseason game number three. The Saints, of course, have lost both of their games. But Dallas, much like the Saints, and very much like the Saints, will not and do not anticipate Brian Schottenheimer in his second year playing the first team starters at all. That's what he did last year in his first head coaching year with the Dallas Cowboys. He did not play any of his starters, and he is not expecting to play his starters on Friday night. So it's going to be the battle of the twos and really the battle for evaluation, the battle for roster spots. It's only the seventh time. You'd think that, to me, I would have thought they would have played more in the preseason. I mean, New Orleans is in their 60th season. Dallas is in their 67th season. Yet this is the seventh time they are meeting in the preseason. It's the first time they've met in the preseason since 2006. So we'll take that as a good omen. It's the first time they've traveled to play Dallas since 1978. So it's been a long time. Dallas last year was 7-9-1. Two of their first four games, they had kind of a weird start to the season to be. I know this is a New Orleans Saints show, but they're playing Dallas on Friday. They had overtime in two of their first 4 weeks. Overtime. They scored 40 points in two of their first 4 weeks and won one in overtime and tied one. 40 points. You get a win and a tie. And, of course, it'll be the homecoming of sorts for Kellen Moore, 37 years old in July. In 2018, it was the Dallas Cowboys' quarterbacks coach. In 2019, 2020, 2021, and 22, he was the Dallas Cowboys' offensive coordinator. And back in 2015, he played three games with the Cowboys as the quarterback. I think he started two games and played in three overall, four touchdowns and six interceptions. But, of course, it'll be as the coach on Sunday for the Saints. And Brian Schottenheimer basically said a lot like Kellen Moore. They just do not want to play the starters. Now, they have not had the injury situation that the Saints have had. I've looked around the league some, and everybody's had some. And that they don't seem to be, everybody's probably got two to three players who have gone on the IR. You know, Carolina got hit early in like their first week of practice because they had the extra preseason game playing in the Hall of Fame game. So the Saints, with three of them coming this week, man, you just want to get into Dallas, get out of Dallas, and, hopefully get a little more things solidified, if you will, or maybe have a clearer path. I think that quarterback battle at number two, where we thought might have thought maybe Zach Wilson took a leg up in preseason one, preseason two, really kind of hard to say. Spencer threw the ball better, but had the pick six. Again, you want somebody to step up, just like in the kicking battle, which we'll talk about more after the break. You want somebody to step up. You don't want somebody to just win the battle by attrition. So we'll see how that goes, because I do expect both of them to play Friday, and we'll see if we see Deckers, Hunter Deckers, as we did in preseason game one. So this is the Bullseye Saints Hour. I am Saints play-by-play Mike Host. It is an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and we'll be back after a quick message here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And a pleasant welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, as we work our way towards September 13th, kind of a late season starter this year, on the road for two games at Detroit, then at Baltimore. So if you think about it, I can't remember. I'd have to go back and check a lot of years. But the Saints play their preseason home opener on August 15th, and their next home game is September 27th against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I feel like there's a whole lot of Las Vegas Raider talk the last couple of days with Zamir White and Daniel Carlson, which we'll get into. But I had the opportunity today to sit down with Grady Brown. He's the cornerback's coach, young guy himself, although he's been in coaching 26 years, most of it on the college side, 6 years in the pro side, Pittsburgh, then New Orleans. And we talked about a lot of areas, areas that would be key to him, as he knew at the beginning of the season, that being the young players who would be asked to step up. We talked about some of the fastest players in his room, and we talked about what is the zany, crazy college landscape, and you know what it would be like for him had he stayed in that arena. So this is cornerbacks coach Grady Brown from earlier today.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Martin Emerson Jr. And you know, we've seen talk on the sidelines and kind of the thought process is, wow, he kind of started slowly, but he really feels like the last few weeks really picked up his everything. I mean, is that a fair kind of assessment?
It's very fair. I see the same thing that you see. When he got here, he was recovering from an injury, so he didn't play last year. And I have a unique exposure to him because we were both in the AFC North. So I was totally comfortable when we signed him because I've seen the football player that he can be when he was healthy. And when he got here, like I said, he was just recovering from the injury and getting back into it. But he's been a great addition. He's a really good person, great to have in the room. I'm very happy that he's here.
I had said this early on in camp, and I didn't, you know, just from a mental aspect of what he felt like he wanted to do. And I'm talking about Jonas Sanker playing the star. And I think some of that is mental, how you approach it. And I think he attacked it and just wanted to be in that role.
Right. He's doing a good job. One thing that might go overlooked is his experience playing at safety. And so he's just doing a lot of the same jobs. It's just closer to the football, maybe a little bit more man coverage. And so from my view, he's doing a good job. He works out of the safety room because that's his secondary position. So Terry and RJ, they're doing a great job with him. But he's definitely embraced the role. And just that position is a fun position to play. You get the blitz, you get the cover, you get to be involved in the run game. It's really nothing that you don't get an opportunity to do at that position.
Along the same lines, and he's not new. He was around last year, and that's Jaden Price. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that just, you see him, he's out there. He's making plays.
Right, right. One thing we did with JP is, as a staff, we identified that, okay, let's not try to play him at corner and nickel. Can he be a corner, emergency corner? Certainly he can. But we made the decision that just playing him at nickel would give him the best opportunity to help us reach our goals. And it's really been a good decision. He's done a good job. There are obviously some things that we have to improve on, but you can see just playing one spot and just learning the ins and out of that spot, it shows up on his film.
I was talking to one of the special teams players, and we were just talking about the technology of the game and Ted Rath and how it's changed so much. And he was talking about how they test and they want to get your top speed, you know, 85-100%, you know, at some point. And he said, and I'm going to ask you a question because it surprised me a little. He said, you probably don't know who I think the fastest player on the team is. And I said, I don't. And so I want to ask you a question. Who's the fastest player in your secondary?
The fastest player in the secondary, I would assume, based upon what I've seen, is Jonas Sanker.
Let me tell you what he said was, Lorenzo Styles. He said at one point it was going 23 miles an hour. And I was like, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about him being the fastest guy out there.
I forgot about Styles. Styles definitely has the fastest 40 time recorded. Now, GPS numbers doesn't necessarily mean that that's the fastest person.
Right.
Because sometimes those numbers come from panic. So you run a lot faster.
And quite frankly, you're not asked to go out there and run 40s and 100s.
Right.
It's about 10-yard quick stops.
Right, but he definitely has the fastest 40 time. And so I can see him having run the fastest on the field, but I would still go with play speed. I would go with Sanker being the fastest.
When this preseason started, Coach Moore and Mickey Loomis said, you know, the truth of the matter is we're going to need young players to step up this year. And he was talking about Quincy Riley and Kool-Aid and some other players. But, you know, Quincy's banged up. And quite frankly, so he said, you know, so is Lorenzo. Do you feel that? And do you feel like you've answered some of those questions? Like the, hey, guy, or is it, it doesn't matter till week one?
Well, it really goes beyond week one. It's such a corner, nickel, and really safety too. Playing in the secondary is such a play-to-play position. Like, we can sit here and look at the body of work in training camp and say, yeah, we've been playing well and we're doing a good job. We covered our receivers, battled against Jacksonville, who has great receivers, and all of these receivers and offenses, we've kind of stood up and held our own. And let's just say you go through week one, week two, and you're saying the same thing, but what happens in week five if you don't stand up? So you really can't get caught into the body of work, I don't think, until the end of the season and you go back and do a self-scout and evaluate your play, because we're just week to week. We're really play to play. TJ played in the game this past week, I think it made like 5 tackles in a row, and I had challenged him about tackling. And you're sitting there saying, man, okay, he's tackling well. But then on the 3rd and 4 play, we miss a tackle, and that should have been a 5-yard gain, and turns into an explosive. So it's just a play-to-play position that you really can't look at the body of work. You just got to keep, as they say, I guess, chopping wood and carrying water and just play the plays that you get.
Couple more questions with Grady Brown. I wanted to talk to you about turnovers, and they come in bunches. You guys were -4 from a turnover margin, and I know a lot of emphasis being put on banging that ball out. Brandon Staley does it on the sideline. I know you do as well. And, you know, interceptions, they seem to come, they don't come. I mean, it's like one of the things, if you try to put too much emphasis on it, but how important is it for this defense to be better from an interception standpoint, just numerically?
Yeah, takeaways are critical.
And for
it's critical, and it starts there for us. I'm not calling them turnovers, but calling them takeaways, and they are critical in today's football because, I mean, offenses are just so good, and quarterbacks are so good, and timing and everything like that. And so you're talking about stealing an extra possession. So whether they are interceptions, whether they are caused fumbles that turn into fumble recoveries, they're huge. And really, you look at it, if you can be about 15, at least 14 interceptions, then if you can be anywhere from 8 to 10 fumble recoveries, you give yourself a chance to steal a number of possessions and you find a way to maybe win 2 more ball games or so. So certainly interceptions, they're important. Now, a lot of that really just depends on what type of coverages you're playing. If you're back to the ball and man coverages, then they will, interception opportunities will be less. If you're vision, which we do both, you get more of an opportunity, but they're absolutely critical for sure.
Just because of what you just talked about with turnovers and having the opportunity to go, hey, defense, the Saints offense almost scored 2 touchdowns in the 3rd quarter, but an interception flips the switch, and then a fumble inside the 5. I mean, you want to say, hey, you want to know the importance? Look at the importance of those turnovers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Every time you take the field as a defensive unit, you're definitely playing against the offense. But you really need to be the best defense on the field, so you're kind of playing against that defense too. And we have to do a better job of putting our ball search culture and our ball search standard on display. And we did not do that. There were opportunities where we could have ball searched, caused a fumble, or maybe just been more sticky in coverage and get an INT. And so it's definitely a critical aspect in today's football.
So if I'd have come to you 20 years ago, 26 years ago, after your first year at Alabama A&M, mm-hmm. your college coach.
It's your research. A lot of people get that mixed up.
Yeah.
It's A&M, then Alabama
State. Right. Yeah. And I've come to you and I said, hey, so the game's over. You win. I need you to go in the locker room and re-recruit your own players because we're paying them. I need you to go get new guys in the transfer portal who've been to four schools. And if you want to, look at those NFL rosters and see who you coached last year who's playing in the NFL. And, hey, give them a call. I mean, the college landscape now, but just because you spent a lot of time at college, you'd laugh me out of the room, wouldn't you? I mean, it's so difficult.
It's like, I'm not sure how old you are, but it's like.
I'm older than you.
Okay. Well, I'm sure, you'll be able to relate to this. In my mind, it's like growing up watching the Jetsons and saying one day we're going to be driving those flying cars and that day is here. you know what I mean? It's a tall task. I'd imagine that relationships play a huge part in things and the pocketbook. To be honest with you, college athletics is pro football. And so when you're a free agent, you typically go to the situation that is best financially for your family. Yeah. And so that has a part to do with it. But I would imagine if I was in that position, I'd have to be authentically myself and do a good job of building trust, building relationships. And from that point, rely on the resources of that program and be strategic also in who you bring back and who you don't bring back, bro. But the Jetsons is now.
It's 100 miles an hour.
It's 100 miles an hour.
No rules and just make it up as we go. Good luck to you against Dallas. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Boy, he said it well. Grady Brown, cornerbacks coach. It feels like the Jetsons now in the college football landscape. And the man spent 20 years coaching on the collegiate level. We'll take a break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. We'll bring in Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter. We'll talk about this. The new kicker and the kicking battle that continues to go on. The kicking battle shouldn't get smaller. Shouldn't always get bigger towards the end, but this one did with one game left and still plenty of time before a September 13th opener. So we'll take a break, come back, talk more here on the Bullseye Saints Hour right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. The Saints in Dallas on Friday night, 7 o'clock. As we bring in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who won't have to deal, has a night game, won't have to deal with the heat and the humidity of SoFi Stadium. No rain in the forecast, all good. So welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. And yeah, I do want to lodge a formal complaint. If you're going to have an indoor football stadium in Los Angeles, California, I shouldn't be sweating on the sideline. That should be a rule. And we should all be able to agree on it. So I don't know who the governing body is that I need to file a complaint to, but I'm going to find out, and I'll get the ball rolling on that. I'm sure you'll co-sign.
Yeah. Oh, I will say this. I got a sunburn in the booth. Like, I should have put on sunscreen to go in the booth because the sun was just blazing. You had to put papers up to kind of create shade to see what you were looking at. I'm like, my goodness, my face is so brown from calling an inside game. I don't know what it was. All right, enough about SoFi. I think people who are dear listeners, and we appreciate you, know how I feel about SoFi. So it is what it is. Again, I won't mind it on Valentine's Day in 2027. That's the only time I won't mind it. So we opened the show just talking about the injuries, which to me, we didn't really talk about the impact, just because until you start writing them down, offense on one page, defense on the other, it doesn't kind of hit home, but we just don't know, right? To me, Devin Neal, Lorenzo Styles, you know, where are these guys? They did get Bub Means back today. They did get Kristen Miller back today. I'm just kind of curious as to when you look at the impact of the injuries, and this is a totally unfair question, because you don't know, you know what I know, The impact of what it might be for the 53, assuming that maybe Jordan Tyson is going to be on IR. Like, what's it do to your 53?
Well, the injury today that changes things a little bit for me was Malik Imadovao, who, you know, we knew he was hurt coming out of the game, didn't realize he was season-ending type hurt, which is a bummer for him because he was playing really well. I felt like he was going to make the roster, and he was going to be kind of the fourth tight end in that room. And, you know, that's just a bummer because I thought he was coming along really well. I mean, in that game that he got hurt, he had made two of, like, the better catches he had of his career. So that changes things. Jordan Tyson, I think you're right. I think Jordan Tyson and one other player, whether it's Chris Rumpf, whether it's Devin Neal, whether it's Lorenzo Styles, I think somebody's going to end up on IR along with Jordan Tyson, and they're going to, and the Saints are going to be able to at least utilize that flexibility. Like, it's not a good thing. You can't be spin it as a good thing, but, you know, it does allow them to be a little creative with how they create some holes or some roster spots. It's funny because they have two open roster spots right now. What do you do with those? Shutdown day is Sunday. Do you bring in a couple bodies just to get through the preseason game? But to me, the biggest injury question that I don't know the answer to right now is Quincy Riley. Like, where is he? When is he going to be back? Is this going to be a situation where Martin Emerson Jr. is starting for you in week one? Because as much as I appreciate where Martin Emerson Jr. has developed in terms of his camp and where he started and where he is now, that's still a scary proposition for me. Like, you have to protect him hardcore over the top. Like, you cannot leave him alone without safety up over the top, and that really limits what you can do for your defense. But as far as the 53, I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a particularly difficult 53 to put together because of all the injuries, because you're able to say, well, we don't have this guy, we don't have this guy. Ty Chandler was the guy who I was thinking, hey, maybe you try to find a spot for him. He's not going to be an option. So it's really more about, do you have the horses than do you have a stable to put them in? Because I think it's more about availability than necessarily, logistics, if that makes sense.
Sure. And you and I were talking because last year the Saints played all three of their preseason games on a Sunday. This year there's only one preseason game on a Sunday in the entire preseason because Sunday, August 30th, is when the cutdown day comes. You know, it's usually always feels like it's always been on Monday or Tuesday. This is a Sunday, August 30th at 5 o'clock, then the waiver claims on Monday. And then by Monday, 8:31, August 31st, by 5 o'clock Central, you have to have established your practice squads. It was just, when you think of the joint practices, with Jacksonville and the Rams and Dallas and then those games. And then it's the cumulative effect. It wasn't like somebody went down and they carted them off and you were like, you know, but it's like a two or three guy per event that ended up getting you where you are now with 12 to 14 guys banged up. I mean, it's the cost of playing football. It wasn't one thing or the other. You can't pinpoint hamstrings. You can't pinpoint knees. You can't pinpoint the fights. Right, you can't pinpoint the weather or field or anything like that. It's when you have that many events of football, contact football, over a 10-day period, things happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's years where you just get some bad luck. You know, the hamstring injuries, I think, are what you would look at and say these are the concerning injuries. These are soft tissue injuries. These are theoretically preventable injuries in a lot of ways, like a torn ACL. There's nothing you can do about that. Like, you get hit on the knee, like Maliki did, like Alvin did. There's nothing you can do and say, prevent that. Like, but, you know, you see a guy like Devin Neal go down with multiple hamstring injuries. You see Jordan Tyson go down with a hamstring injury. Those are the ones that you look at the medical staff and you're like, how can we prevent these from happening at such a high rate? You know, because it just seems like they're piling up. Cam Jordan, Oscar Delp, Jordan Tyson, Devin Neal, all have hamstring injuries that are keeping them out. Then you have Quincy Riley with a groin injury. Lorenzo Styles Jr. with a calf injury. Like, that's what irks me a little bit. And I'm sure that's what you're talking to the medical staff about. But at the same time, you're hopeful that some of these guys start to come back, right? We saw Bub Means get back today. We saw Kristen Miller get back today. You know, if you can start getting those numbers back closer to closer to 5 or 6 by the time the regular season starts, I think you'd be feeling a lot better about the situation.
I agree. Let's pause and take 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak on the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. We'll talk about the kicking battle that got bigger, not smaller, when we come back here on the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints and to all of our network affiliates up and down the Southeast in Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi, all over. We appreciate you listening in Louisiana and hoping for better times ahead. September 13th at Detroit. Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter, remains with us. And it's been an SEC Las Vegas Raider couple of days as the Saints signed or traded for Zamir White, the running back who played at Georgia and spent 4 years with the Las Vegas Raiders. And then today you have Daniel Carlson, who played at Auburn and spent 8 of his years with the Las Vegas Raiders and was released in 2025. So let's talk about this kicking battle. They haven't seen him kick a ton. Kicked some in the Dallas practice. The Rams didn't really even have goalposts to kick from, and then they didn't really get a lot of action in the Rams game on Saturday, other than the 2 walkthroughs on Wednesday and Friday. What is your take on the Carlson addition?
Yeah, it is strange because we've seen one kick since last Tuesday, and it was the Tanner Brown miss in the preseason game, and it did kind of feel like that snapped something, right? Like, I do wonder, do you sign Daniel Carlson if Tanner Brown makes that kick? I don't know, but the fact of the matter is he's here now. It's a strange situation because the Saints could have signed Daniel Carlson from day one. I mean, I assume that they would have been open to the idea. They chose to go with Tanner Brown. You know, he was over there. He lives in Auburn, Alabama now. That's where he was kind of working out. Auburn let him come back and use their facilities to kind of stay sharp during his time off. He said he had friends like taking lunch breaks and changing into football gear and helping him like hold and snap and stuff like that. But I mean, he's a veteran option, and I think that immediately makes you feel a little more confident about the situation. You at least know that he's been in those scenarios. He has a career percentage of like 85. Even in a down year last year, he went 22 of 27. He made a 60-yard game winner. So, you know, I think that the baseline is just so much higher than what your fear is with the other two guys, which is they completely fall off the table and you just can't trust them to make kicks, right? Like, I think he at least provides that type of confidence. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't have much runway. Like, they're still treating this as a competition. They still have Orr on the depth chart between all three of those kickers. They're holding on to all three of them. Charlie Smith is the 91st player on the roster, even with only 88. He's the 91st player because he's the international player. But there's a lot of pressure on this Wednesday kicking session. They're going to get out to Tulane tomorrow night. I expect all three guys are going to kick. And this may be the most pressure Daniel Carlson has ever had to go 5 for 5 in a practice.
Right.
Because if he goes out there and just doesn't look like he has it, then what are you to do? You have to make cuts on Sunday. You don't. Like we saw in Saturday's game that you cannot guarantee kicks. I mean, I'm really fascinated to see what that looks like tomorrow because there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of pedigree there. But the Raiders moved on for a reason. He was sitting there as a free agent for a reason.
Yeah, he made his very last kick was a 60-yarder, which is his career. Think about this. His career-long, he's been in the league 8 years, is 60 yards. That's his career long. It came on his final kick of the final game of the final week of the season last year when the Raiders beat the Chiefs 14-12 for Las Vegas to finish the season 3-14 and for Kansas City to end the season 6-11. So it probably got washed away a little bit, but that's kind of a win when you think about it, kind of a unique way. And so I went back. I was kind of like I do the book of Daniel Carlson, then the book of Zamir White. Because I was kind of curious, because he talked quickly about his stint in Minnesota, and so he was a 5th-round pick at Minnesota. And I'm going to talk about some of the good of him because he was All Pro in 21 and 22. But you think about you're a 5th-round pick, Minnesota, 2018. Week one, he only has one attempt. He makes it from 48 yards out, makes all three extra points. Week two, he's at Green Bay, made all of his extra points, but he missed three field goals, two of them in overtime, in a game that finished tied 29-29. He missed a field goal in the first half, and then overtime he missed a first possession 49-yarder wide right, and then at the end of overtime, a 35-yarder that would have won it to finish 29-29. I say that because kickers go through it, and they released him the next day. And he had many tryouts. He didn't get picked up by, it was then the Oakland Raiders, until October 24th. So he had to wait a while, right? Finishes up 18, and he has this great career. And then in 2021, he's second team All-Pro. And in 2022, you know, he's 34 of 37, and two of his three misses were 50-plus. In 2021, he was 40 of 43, 93%, one miss of 50-plus. For his career, and you talked about this, he was 225 of 259, so almost 87%. And in 255 extra point attempts, he missed eight in 11 years. He's a big, tall cat, man. He's 6'5". And so it's just interesting because they all go through those stretches. Now, most of them don't do it on their second game as a fifth-round draft pick in Minnesota. Can you imagine? Like, I had forgotten. I don't know that game in 2018. But I'm just kind of reliving this game, thinking about this kid who just got married, and he's up there, and he misses two in overtime, and the game is tied. I mean, to overcome that, I think he's probably, you know, he'll probably would say he's a better kicker and he's a better person.
Yeah, and his brother's also a kicker in the NFL too. And I've been trying to call him Anders. He's not Anders. He's Daniel. But no, I mean, it is funny how I feel like the leash is almost shorter when you are a draft pick as a kicker and you're a fifth round pick, because the expectations are so much higher, and you come in and you're still a rookie. You know, you're still there just like every other rookie on the team, except you have to be perfect. Think about Bryce Lance. If Bryce Lance got in there and he dropped a pass, we'd cut him. No, he's a rookie. He makes mistakes.
Right.
Get better. Not if you're a kicker, though. If you're a kicker, you're perfect from day one, and you're out the door. And it's tough. It's a tough life. So, and I mean, that's why I think when you're the Saints and you bring that guy in, and I think just generally speaking, you have a little more confidence in that guy because he has been through that. When you look at a Tanner Brown, you're like, hey, that could happen to him, right? He could go out there and completely, completely lose it in a game, and you have no one to blame but yourself because you put him in that position, right? And I look at a Phil Galliano and I say, you know, there was a lot of criticism thrown his way last year. I don't think he can afford another year where the special teams is a liability. I mean, if he wants to keep his job, at least. There's a lot of pressure on Phil to get things right this season, too. So I think that's why you're seeing them get aggressive, because they could have waited. They could have said, hey, we'll wait till cuts. We'll see if somebody shakes loose somewhere else. And they didn't. They got this done early, and I think that was a smart play, because it just has not looked pretty, and it has not gotten better from this kicking situation.
Need to take another break. I totally agree with you, Jeff Nowak. Take a break. We'll be back after this. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Keep it here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and tomorrow night, gates open at 6 o'clock, Yeoman Stadium for Saints practice. It starts at 7 o'clock, but again, gates open for Tulane at 7. It's the first time for Kellen Moore. The last time they did this was 2024. They did not do it last year, but we'll skip tomorrow because we talked a little bit about what the kicking battle will be. So let's talk Friday night, Jeff. Let's talk running back position. Now, let's be positive and say Alvin Kamara is going to be back week one. I don't know, but let's say he is. And you've got Alvin, Travis, Audric Estime's back, and Kendre Miller. Right now, I'm not saying you were going to keep four, but right now you'd have taken those four at the beginning of training camp. And right now, like, not knowing Alvin's situation, if you have him back, they'd all be healthy and ready. So who do you play? Like, do you play Estime? Do you play Kendre? What do you do at running back on Friday?
on Friday. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to play somebody. That's right. Why you brought in Zamir White, right? And it is strange because you traded for a guy, but he has a real uphill climb to make the roster. I think he'd have to be really impressive in that game. And I know how much. I guess the offense is pretty milquetoast. You need to at least know the terminology. So he's going to have some maybe some late night cram sessions to make sure he gets that all done. But no, I'm still playing Kendre. I need to make sure Kendre can play, can recover, can play again, can recover. Like I think that's important for him. So I'm still playing Kendre. I'm not playing him as much as I did in week two. He got a heavy workload in that game, a lot more than I was expecting. And frankly, I think a lot more than he was expecting because of some of the injuries that they were dealing with. But he got through it. He didn't miss any practice. Like that's important for me to see. Because right now, if the season started today, he'd be your RB2 behind Travis Etienne.
And so I'm sorry. So you'd have, because they basically, most teams can only, most of them will just go with three. So CJ Donaldson, yeah, and Zamir will play. And I don't know how much. And if you play Kendre, so you don't play Estime. Yeah.
I play Estime if he's healthy. Like if he's not, if he is feeling 100%, he's out there. If he's still nursing an injury, you know, maybe hold him back. But I haven't seen anything in practice the last couple of days that leads me to think he's not feeling okay. And that's good for him. I mean, he's been playing really well in camp. He's put himself in a position where I think he definitely could make the roster. And I don't know, like, I think you probably could get into the practice squad if you needed to, if you were in kind of a numbers crunch and you wanted to just trim that number down to three. But it's a tough situation. And Alvin, I think the hope is for Alvin to be ready for week one. And if they feel comfortable that he can be ready for week one, then maybe you could get away with just Travis, Audric, and Kendre with Devin going to IR and sticking around that way. But I don't know. It's hard to say right now when you're dealing with a knee injury, so you don't want to rush him back.
So we have a couple of minutes left in the show. Who needs to, from a wide receiver standpoint, who needs to have a good game Friday? Who needs to make an impact Friday night?
That's a good question. Trey Palmer is a guy that I would say, but he hasn't been out of practice the last 2 days. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to play, but he probably would need a good performance to make the roster. He hasn't really done a ton in the preseason to really kind of turn any heads. So probably Bub. Bub Means got back to practice today. He was dealing with a hamstring injury. He had a really strong preseason opener, kind of disappeared in week two, and frankly, he and Zach Wilson just did not look in sync at all. Like, I don't know what it was, but they just weren't connecting. I'd really like to see him kind of put his stamp on this preseason and say, hey, you need to keep me on the roster, because there's spots available. I think what the injuries do is say, hey, Kevin Austin was kind of on the fringe. I think he's definitely on the roster now. And, you know, how many are you keeping? Are you keeping five? Are you keeping six? I think you'd like to see Bub Means go out there and show everyone why he should be on the roster.
Well, we shall find out. The next chance to see him is tomorrow night at Yulman Stadium, Tulane. Practice at 7, gates open at 6. Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter, thank you, my friend. I will see you tomorrow as we bring you all the action from Tulane.
Sounds good, Oz. Thanks.
All right. Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter, as well as podcast, digital, does a lot of things very, very well here at the station. So again, cut down day is Sunday, August 30th. By 5 o'clock, the Saints have to get to 53. Then they'll get their practice squad by Monday at 5 o'clock, August 31st. The season opener will be September 13th at Detroit, then at Baltimore, finally home on the 27th against the Las Vegas Raiders. So thanks for listening. This has been the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, and thanks for listening right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.